Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this new day, even with the heat. You know, we know that you provide everything for us, and so we just thank you for your provision. We thank you for the Vacation Bible School we had this last week, and I think relatively successful. And so, Lord, I just pray for the young people that were there. I pray that they will continue on their journey and grow closer and closer to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we pray now, Lord, for our time of study in the book of Psalms as we get back into book number 5 and starting with Psalm 116 and move on through that last book, often related to Deuteronomy. And like the first 5 books of the Bible, the Torah, we kind of compare this book to that in some ways. So, Lord, we just thank you for your guidance and direction and your blessing upon each person that's here this day and come into this place and those who may be listening in. We just pray that this teaching will be meaningful and helpful for them to continue deeper into the studies of your words, particularly in the book of Psalms. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you will, you kind of know what I've been doing to kind of prepare you for each psalm. I kind of go through it and outline it for myself and then try to follow that, but then for the most part, for the shorter psalms, I then read the whole thing, and maybe some of the longer psalms we'll see how much of it we actually read, and then just do an overview of it of them. So Psalm 116, I actually have broken this. It's 19 verses. I've broken it down quite a bit, eight different sections. It starts with verses 1 and 2, and that's pretty straightforward, and we'll read it with the rest of the psalm. But Psalms 1 and 2 I summarize by, I love the Lord, Yahweh. He heard my voice, my cry for mercy. I will call on him as long as I live. And that could be a mantra for all of us, you know, to always look in every situation, each part of our life, just recognize that the Lord loves us and we love him in return, and we know what he's done, we know what he's given us, and we have a mission, and so we need to call on him as long as each of us live. Then verses 3 to 5, the Lord, Yahweh again, is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. And verse 6 summarized it with, I was in great need, he saved me. Verses 7 to 9, the Lord has been good to you. Delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Verses 10 to 12. I believed. How can I repay the Lord? And verses 13 to 15. Call on the name of the Lord, Yahweh. Fulfill my vows. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And verse 16 by itself, O Lord, I am your servant. You have freed me from my chains. And then the last 3 verses, 17 to 19, I will sacrifice a thank offering. Call on the name of the Lord. Fulfill my vows in the courts of the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so that's, probably don't even need to read this, but I'm going to read it in its entirety now and see how it connects with those phrases that I emphasize. Psalm 116. I love the Lord Yahweh, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord, Yahweh. O Lord, Yahweh, save me. And again, verse 5, the Lord, Yahweh, is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. And verse 6, the Lord, Yahweh, protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord, Yahweh, has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord, Yahweh, in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men, this is a pretty strong statement, are liars. Think about that. How can I repay the Lord, Yahweh, for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord, Yahweh. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord, Yahweh, in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord, Yahweh, is the death of his saints. O Lord, again, Yahweh, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. I don't know if there's another reading in the Bible that has Yahweh mentioned so many times, but it's important. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. And then verse 19, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. And so it ends with a praise. So I think it's an unknown author, but I think it's very meaningful. It's one of those psalms that I think we can read from time to time, depending on what's going on in our life and what we need to get to do some reflecting on. You know, what we need. Psalm 117, just two verses, and I think I summarized it. I'll just read the two verses because basically my summary is pretty much the same. Praise the Lord, Yahweh, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord, Yahweh, endures forever. Praise the Lord, Yahweh. So three Yahwehs, which is interesting. And that's short. I think that's the shortest the shortest psalm in the Bible, and I think the shortest word is usually said. Of course, 119 is the longest psalm, and then stuck in between is 118, and that's where we'll go next. And 118 is 118 is 29 verses, so I'll give a little breakdown of four-part breakdown on Psalm 118, and then we'll read through it as well. Verse 1 is the first break. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. That's pretty straightforward. Verses 2 to 4, let Israel say, and then I'll read that when I read through it. Verses 5 to 23, which is the main context of it, is better to take refuge in the Lord, Yahweh, than to trust in man. And that's an idiom that we should keep in mind, too. And then verses 24 to 29, this is the day of the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I know that's a common phrase in some of the churches, the liturgies, and so forth. So, Let me read through the totality of it, 118, and we'll reflect upon it a little bit. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. that Israel say? And here's what he's they should say. His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. And then verse 5, in my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Another idiom. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but the name of the Lord I cut them off. But in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Repeated. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God. He has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession. Up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Even though this is an unknown author, to me it sounds a lot like David, but it's not known for sure, and so they call it unknown. But just by all that David went through and the relationship he had with God. All right, so from here I'm skipping 119, so I encourage you during the week, if you haven't already, read through Psalm 119. It uses the Hebrew alphabet. I assume all your Bibles have each of the Hebrew letters with it. The first eight verses, it's broken up in eight verses in each section. 22 Hebrew letters, which is the alphabet, the main alphabet of the Hebrew language. And it starts with the Aleph. And then goes to the Beit, and then the Gimel, and then the Daleth, and then the He. Just to give you a little heads up, the Aleph is generally considered the first. The Beit is the house, so there's a meaning in each one. The Gimel, the Daleth, and we'll go through that. The He I use a lot in my studies. This is it right here. And I believe the hay represents the Spirit, which, you know, can represent the Holy Spirit. And so there's some meaningful things. And then the sixth character in the Hebrew alphabet is the Vav. And the Vav is clearly a picture of the nailing to the cross. so it's a picture of Christ. And I believe, for me, the 10th character of the Hebrew alphabet, which if you go on here, is the Yod. And the Yod is that character that I believe represents the hand of God, the very hand of God. So when you study the Hebrew language and try to give meaning in each one of the words. Now this psalm, like I say, Psalm 119, every verse of that section with eight verses in each section. Eight verses in each section give a word in the Hebrew that starts with that character. So all the verses, like blessed in 119, just as a quick look at that first section, blessed one, verses 1 and 2, would the word in Hebrew would start with an aleph, and then so on down, they and you and oh and so forth that reads there. So we'll get to that next week, hopefully, if I get my job done to go through this in detail. I figured it'll take us the whole hour to go through Psalm 119 and hopefully get it done in one session. But all right, so we'll skip 119 and go to 120, which is Psalm 120 is 7 verses, and it's an unknown author as well. And I just kind of divided the 7 verses into 3 parts. The first 2 verses, I refer to it as "I call on the Lord in my distress," so a time of distress. And it just should be a reminder to us when we're in distress, when we're in need, drastic need. Do we call upon the Lord right away, or do we try to do it ourselves, figure things out ourselves? But this is a reminder to call upon the Lord in distress. Verses 3 and 4, what will he do to you? ? And verses 5 to 7, I am a man of peace. So let me read it in its totality. I call on the Lord Yahweh in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, again Yahweh, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And so, even though, again, it's an unknown author, it could be the likes of David, but we don't know for sure. So, 121, again, unknown. Now, I need to back up with 120. Starting with Psalm 120, these are should probably in your Bible heading for Psalm 120, and then on here to through several of the Psalms. It should say a song of ascents. Now this is a way when the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, go up to Zion. It's going up to Mount Zion to worship the Lord, and this is an important something they sing or repeat, chant as they're going up. And so that's what ascent refers to. So let me read these 7 verses in Psalm 120. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongues? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So that, as we read before as well. So let me go on with 121.
Can I make a comment?
Okay, yeah.
The idea of ascent is aliyah, going up. Mm-hmm. The Hebrew word is going up. Mm-hmm. And if you notice here in verse 5, they are dwelling in Meshach and Kedar. The writer is saying that, but I think he's speaking on behalf of Israel here.
Okay.
And there's an idea of him calling, or Israel calling out in distress. They are outside of their land, and the idea of going home.
Okay, coming home.
Yeah. So that's why I think it's called this the ascent.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, let's go on in 121. And I got three breakouts there. First two verses. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I know that's a common phrase. Some of the churches repeat that in some of their liturgy and what have you. Verses 3 and 4, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And I think that's an important phrase as well, given right now. Look at what's going on in the world. Look at what Israel has prepared the way for what the U.S. did last night. And to bomb Iran. And so we're seeing some of these things. I heard Trump say it was God that did it. God is God's. Now, we can question, is his heart truly, has he given his heart and to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? We can question, you know. But I know in that very, you know, that had to be a hard thing to go through. And for the military people that orchestrated it and did such a fantastic job on knocking out Iran's nuclear sites. We'll see. We'll see what the reaction is and see. So we're in a place that I think this is very, very relevant. And so let me read Psalm 121. Just in his total. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth. He is the maker, the only maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, Yahweh, watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord, Yahweh, will keep you from harm, all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord, Yahweh, will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. That's the relationship we should have with the Lord. That closeness, that we know that his hand is upon us and that we are responding hopefully to his will. And so let me go on with 122. I broke that into two sections. I'll read the whole thing, which is nine verses. It is a Psalm of David, part of the Song of Ascents again. This whole section is, and the first five verses, and then the verses six to nine kind of gives another message within. So let me read 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, Yahweh. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the ascent, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. And then verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I hope you've heard that phrase many times. I mean, it's such a part of the Jewish connection with the Lord, with the Father, with Yahweh. Even those that have not really recognized Jesus as their Messiah still pray that as they, and it's part of the ascent here. You know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I think that's a good thing for all of us to be praying for. Because now Israel has built their war machine, you know, up to a point where they're doing a job. They're doing a job, and now they've let America step in and do the job that only America could do with the weaponry that we have. And so obviously there's possible trying times ahead, but we don't know how the other enemies, our enemies, will respond. We know it's really knocked Iran for a loop. There's no doubt about that. They don't have, they couldn't even identify them coming in, you know. So it's an amazing thing that's happening right now in our time. So okay, that was David's psalm. Now let me. Did I read that or not? I didn't read. Thank you. Keep me straight. I read part of it. Huh? Let me read the whole thing in context. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Now, that's where I kind of stopped. When to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord Yahweh, our God, I will seek your prosperity. So that's that's part of the Song of the Ascent. Now we go on to Psalm 124, which is 8 verses, and I just kind of summarized it into one, phrase. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So let me read the totality of it in 124. Keep me straight. Somebody's got to keep me straight. Okay, let's do 123. See, I want to move along a little quicker. So. 123, you're right. Thank you. I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of their mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord, our God, till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. Now, 124, and again, I just have that all summarized into one verse, so let me read the whole thing. If the Lord had not been on our side, this is Psalm of David, let Israel say, if the Lord, Yahweh, had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, the raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, Yahweh, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and And that's, again, a phrase that we ought to honor and repeat. And pray it to the, back to the Lord. Okay, Psalm 125. Again, that's an unknown author. It's just five verses. I broke it into two sections, verses 1 and 2 first, so let me read those. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, that's in Jerusalem, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. And I think we tend to lose that longevity thing, the totality of God's plan for his people Israel. I know there are, you know, churches that don't believe that Israel has a future. You know, they have to come in through the church. They have to come in through the present order of things. But God has a plan extended beyond the age of the church, the time of the church, because the church is going to be taken out, you know, by Jesus when that time comes. And there will still be great tribulation and all the things that will be going on earth, but God will oversee it, and ultimately, at the end of the tribulation period, Israel will proclaim Jesus as their Messiah. And so the what has taken so long to develop and happen will still happen. So, all right. So I am on 125, aren't I? Okay. I just want to check myself. I sometimes repeat. So, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. 126, six verses, unknown author. Let me just read it. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying the sheaves with him. Now, some refer to this as a past act. Now, Grant Jeffries, who wrote the footnote to this Psalm 126. I'm just going to read it to you from his writing, all verses 1 to 6. This Psalm of praise rejoices in the exile's restoration to Zion, so that's past, and prefigures the rejoicing that will accompany the Messiah's victory in the millennial kingdom. The psalmist also reminds his readers that we must remain faithful despite adversity, for those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. So that's the future hope. We know the past. We know Israel still has to receive Jesus as their Messiah, but we know a portion of them will at some point. And there will be a millennial kingdom in which Jesus will rule and reign, and David with him, Ezekiel. And so we have to take all of God's word. I guess that's my point, and what, you know, made me have to look at a different way from what I was being taught where I was before. It just, you can't exclude God's promises to his people Israel through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and down through the centuries, and ultimately he will restore them. And so that's what we still have ahead of us. Okay, then Psalm, and I'll stop with this one, Psalm 127, which is just five verses, and it's given credit to Solomon. So Solomon apparently wrote this, or was credited with writing it. So let me read this, and we'll stop there for today. Unless the Lord, Yahweh, builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, Yahweh. Children, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. So the blessing of children, the blessing of sons. We'll stop there. I'm kind of in the middle of where I prepared for was to get to Psalm 131. So I got a few to go. So we'll see how it goes next week with Psalm 119, and then we'll pick back up with where we left off here in Psalm, moving on to Psalm 128 when we resume our regular order through book five of the Psalms. So let's pray as we conclude here and prepare ourselves for a time of worship. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. Again, as we read every word of your word, as we read and put together the pieces, the totality, and look at, you know, what you wrote about in the past, but we see how so much of your word was foretelling future. And so as we look forward to the future, look forward to what we're seeing now in our world today, in not only our nation, but in Israel, in Jerusalem, in the Middle East. We've got some sense of tension, but Lord, you are providing. You're providing a way for a time to hopefully build up your church in this age, but also still witnessing to and encouraging your chosen people of Israel. So thank you, Lord, for what we're seeing before our very eyes in our time. And I just pray for safety for those who may be doing the tough work in the military. We thank you for the leadership that you've given us now in this country that we didn't have in the last presidency. And now, but there's those that still are going to ridicule, you know, what President Trump has decided and done. But your hand was on it, Lord. We know it. And President Trump said that. And so I just ask for a blessing on this work to lessen the power of our enemies, to give us time to continue to share your word and share the message of salvation before the time is up for when the next phase of your plan will take place. So Lord, we thank you for this time we've had in this study. We thank you now ahead of time for a time of worship. And so we just ask for a blessing on each part of our worship service, as we always do. We pray thank you ahead of time for the prayers. We thank you for answered prayers, but we thank you for the unanswered prayers that we can continue to pray for. We pray for the music that has been selected and we will sing. We pray, you know, for the word that will be read and the message that Raymond will deliver. We pray and thanks for the time of communion that we can share together as well, which we do every Sunday here. So Lord, we just thank you for the totality, but we thank you for that time of fellowship where we can embrace and embolden each other in the times we're in. So Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer, and I just pray that it bless the rest of this day and the week to come. We thank you for everything that you continue to do in each of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.